Blog Talk Radio.
Wow.
Hello, welcome to our show. I'm Lady Carolyn.
I'm Elder Clayton Evans.
And we'd like to thank you for joining us. Tonight our topic is how to stop allowing the enemy from using your mind. How to stop allowing the enemy to use your mind. But before we get started, we're going to have some prayers so that we can decrease and God can increase in us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Spirit of the true and living God, we come before your throne, Father God, giving thanks and praise for this another day that you have made, Father God. We ask now that you use us, Father God, for your will and your purpose tonight, dear Heavenly Father. We ask that your Holy Spirit abide with us, dear Heavenly Father, and we ask these things in Jesus' name, as we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And thank you. And again, our topic is how to stop allowing the enemy to use your mind. We will be discussing how those intrusive thoughts that we have of each other can become the battlefield that the enemy uses to pit us against each other and keep us from operating in love. Unless we get some self-control over our thoughts will become the emotional upheavals that continue to cause damage in our relationships because we choose to voice them instead of rebuking them. Too many times we allow thoughts to come out of our mouths without consulting God on being our voice of reason. If we can stop the enemy from using our minds, we can also stop him from keeping us from operating in love. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And tonight we're coming out of Proverbs chapter 10, verses 11 through 14, and we're coming out of King James Version. And verse 11 says, "The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. 12 is hatred stirreth up strife, but love covereth all sins. 13, in the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found, but a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding. 14, wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction." And that's the word of God.
People of God, thanks be unto God.
Amen, amen. And, you know, I've chose this topic, I was sharing with my husband earlier, I chose this topic because a lot of people are suffering from, in their relationships with others, from the things that run across your mind. And we was talking about how we allowed the enemy to use our mind in our relationship when we was going through so much turmoil. And what the enemy does is plant those seeds of strife and always got something negative to say to us about the other person. And one of the difficulties that we faced was not being having that connection with God to be able to pull up anything other than that meeting that we was having with the enemy. Like I tell you, I would sit at home while you was gone because I wasn't working. And all I did all day long was just think negative about you. All I did was just think about what you wasn't doing, how you did, what you did do, and anything and everything. And me and Emmy just sat here and just had a big meeting about you. And by the time you came home, you know, I had all this stuff going on inside of my head, so it didn't matter how you came home, if you was in a good mood or you know, you was tired or whatever, I had to tell you what me and the enemy were talking about. You know, so when you met me, what you meant was the enemy in me, you know, and it was always a horrific time. It was always a horrific time. Amen.
Well, that explains some things.
Yeah, it was hard. I mean, that's all I thought about was your behavior.
But it was so easy to let those kind of thoughts entertain us because not being equipped with the word and not really trying to safeguard our hearts. You know, we kind of go with the flow, you know, not seeing each other with spiritual eyes and, you know, letting the enemy kind of run the shot over our lives. It kind of keeps us in that mindset, you know, of what can I expect later on today, you know what I'm saying? And I might have had a rough day. I might have had a good day, you know. And most of the time when I have good days, you know, I'm going to come home and share that, you know, or continue that good day. But if I'm meeting the enemy at the door when I come home, you know, it's unbeknownst to me what my evening is going to be, you know. So if I had a few beers before I got home and stuff and, you know, was in a mellow mood or a good mood, depending on what kind of greeting I got when I got home, would kind of determine the rest of that evening, you know, where we would be as far as how we interact with each other. And it's just another ploy of the enemy, you know. I was mentioning to you a lot of times when we had some intense fellowship and how sometimes you would come home and you would catch me in conversation. And I would pretty much have those same type of conversations, you know, probably based on whatever had happened prior to that, you know, and trying to rationalize in my head or try to figure out how I was going to, you know, do what I was going to do in lieu of what had happened. And most of the time it was negative thoughts, you know. And for me, trying to escape for the evening because that's how I basically dealt with when we didn't have peace in the house, you know. Our two natural instincts are either the fight or flight. So I chose flight most of the time.
And I chose fight.
So, but the scripture tells us, you know, that we always to guard our heart and our mind against the enemy. You know, it tells us that we should think of those things that are good and wholesome and those things that are worthy to think about and meditate on. And most of the time when we allow the enemy to come in, it's totally the opposite, you know. And there's really no love in that at all, you know. That Sidney Lauper song, Love is a Battlefield. So basically that's where our mindset was, you know, how to combat each other as far as, you know, verbally. And then most of the time that led into something else, you know, so.
And I think that, you know, one thing that you brought up, like when you was drinking back then, and we want to thank God for the deliverance.
Amen, amen, amen.
But when we're dealing with someone that is under that influence, we have to be reminded that that's another spirit,
yeah.
You know, that can't operate in love. And not provoking that spirit even more with the things, because it took me a long time to understand that it would have been a whole lot better for me and you if I had left you alone when I know that you've been drinking, because that's an irrational mind anyway, and the enemy is definitely going to use an irrational mind. And when we come up and, I don't know, for some reason, just like when I see you, the intrusive thoughts is always, you know, I need to let you know how I feel. And you know, I'm learning now that it doesn't matter that you know how I feel. It does not matter. If I cannot relay it in a manner where it can fall on your heart, you know, in a more positive way. Because I had not been able to ever have a kind of conversation when I'm hurt that didn't try to hurt you back.
Right.
And learning how to be able to operate in love, if I want to tell you how I feel, I still have to be able to consider your feelings.
Right.
But when you're drinking or you're already upset, you know, that's not a good time. we have to pick our times for, you know, God says a time for everything. We have to pick our times to be able to approach the other person and be able to say whatever it is, because you have to have an open mind. You have to have a willing heart. And if those things are not available, then the only thing I'm doing is adding fuel to the fire. That's all I'm doing. And I had to learn, you know, like sometimes I look at you and I can tell when you're tired, or I can tell when, you know, things may, something else may be on your mind. You might not even be ready to talk to me about it. You know, I used to be so codependent that I had to have your attention. I had to make you tell me what was wrong with you, because if something was wrong with you, then I couldn't function, you know, unless I tried to fix it or tried to find out what was out of cause of it. But now I know that when I leave you alone and give you that time, especially after work, everybody needs at least 30 minutes to an hour downtime after work anyway. And when I give you that time, whatever it is, if it's something that you want to share with me, you'll come to me with that. And you'll talk to me. I ain't got to try to pry it out of you, you know, or force it from you. And that helps a lot, because when I go up in my head and I'm thinking, why are you acting like that? What are you looking like that for? You know, something wrong with him, and I got to come over there with that negativity, you know, the hell. Yeah, because, you know, when the enemy feeds you information, the enemy always feeds you bad, worst scenario information.
Bad intel.
Yes, it's always like, it's either another woman, you're not going to get something that you want, some kind of mistreatment finna happen. It's always something real negative that we can go up in here and just create a whole, yeah, just I'm talking about the scenario is so big and so real. You remember when I used to stalk you? I used to, when you leave the house, I just could not believe that you were going where you say you were going. The enemy would never allow me to believe that you were going where you were going. Men will always tell me, you know, he only went to that woman house. He didn't never tell me what woman, but it was always a woman. And what he would do was whatever my insecurity was, he would play on that. Whatever my insecurity was, if my insecurity was that I felt like I wasn't, you know, the shape of a woman that you like, you know, I like the way this lady had told me one time. She said, I want to be able to have a mindset where I'm comfortable with whoever I am, so that I won't be, because she could not have children. She said, so that I wouldn't be walking around here jealous of every fertile womb that walked by my husband.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because we have those kind of mindsets. You know, we think about, yeah, whatever it is that I allow the enemy to tell me that I'm missing. You know, I used to tell you all the time, I see the woman before you do. Mm-hmm. You know, so I look at her and I see her, and I accept the fact that she's a beautiful woman. She, whatever, you know, built up like a Coca-Cola bottle. I'm looking like a 2-liter. So I look immediately over there at you and wait on you to see her.
Mm-hmm.
So that I can see your reaction, because the enemy told me he's going to look at her. When God put all these beautiful people out here, you know, we can't ignore that beautiful people out here.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no reason for us to be so insecure in ourselves if we have someone, because I noticed that now that stuff like that does not bother me, it's amazing how we can even talk about that. I said, wow, baby, you know, she got on a pretty outfit. You like, that is nice. And there's nothing that jumps up inside of me and says, what? That's nice. What you mean? You know, well, we couldn't always talk like that because of what the enemy kept feeding me. So, you know, when I'm learning how to stop the enemy from starting up here in my head.
Mm-hmm.
Once I create a different scenario, like, God, help me. I got to call on Jesus, because I can't always do it for myself. and then I have a different feeling. And then I can be reminded that I'm in a relationship that's a healthy, wholesome relationship with a person that I love. This is not my enemy. You know, there's nothing bad going to happen. I ain't got to live with impending doom. The other shoe is not going to drop. He's not going to leave me because she's pretty. You know, when I can pull up these things about you, then when you get here, I'm not at you. I'm not against you. We can operate as one.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. And the choices that we make, you know, to be able to stand by those choices and be committed to those choices, that plays a big part in it too, you know. I mean, when that door was open for me to go,
mm-hmm.
I chose to stay. So that was my decision.
When I left,
I had the opportunity to leave if that's what I wanted to do. It was somebody else or something else that I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
But I made the choice, not just in my head, but in my heart, that this is where I wanted to be, you know. So life don't stop just because, you know, we say that, okay, well, there's all this other stuff out here, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And that distract me from what it is that I have already committed to in my heart, because the vows that I took, say, forsaking all of it.
You talking about temptation?
Yeah.
Oh.
You know, when it comes to other people, you know what I'm saying? So that commitment is what I have to concentrate on. You know?
But when you left the house, when you left, there was nothing that could make me believe at that time that you would be committed because you left.
Well, it was the chaos, fusion. It was all the ruckus that were going on.
Right.
I mean,
I understand that. I wanted to leave too, but I didn't leave.
There was some fear in that. You
mm-hmm.
know what I'm saying? After what happened, you know what I'm saying? Because I didn't want to retaliate either, you know. I was angry. I was mad.
I know you were.
You know, and I didn't want that thing to fuel up to the point where not only it was, you know, a domestic disturbance, but it turned into something else,
mm-hmm.
you know, so.
Like a homicide.
Yeah, could have been. Yeah, I didn't want to stay there, but, you know, I didn't want it to get to the point where it was that point of no return.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it was time to really get my head, space, and time in check and deal with my emotions and my feelings, you know.
Well, how did you deal with your emotions away from the house? You were called, you was in your own little spot, you know. And I mean, how did you stay away from the temptation? Because you went out and started living like a bachelor.
My thing was, that's not what I wanted.
Okay.
You know, when we kept communicating and talking, you know, it was my time just to ask God, you know, what should I do? You know, because if it was left up to me, I know I ain't going to do nothing but make it worse.
Mm-hmm.
So by his grace, you know, he fixed it. I couldn't fix it. Even if I wanted to, I didn't know how. I told you I didn't know how,
yeah.
you know, to come back. So I had to allow myself to be open to whatever it was that he needed to do to help us to come back together, you know. And that's why I'm so thankful for this love walk, because it's helping me to learn how to deal with my emotions. And I thank him that I don't have those other distractions. I don't have the spirit of the alcohol or the reefer, the marijuana, no more, all that stuff down, so I can think about things with a sober mind.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and that helps out a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the only spirit I'm on is the Holy Spirit, because that's what keeps us together. That's what helps me see you with spiritual eyes and to hear you with my spiritual ears. You know, because when I get up in my head, you know, and I thank God that I don't even entertain those kind of thoughts anymore.
Amen.
You know, mm-hmm. I'm at a peace where we are right now. And it's more toward the ministry now more than anything else, because that's what helps us to stay balanced. You know, it helps us to walk in agreement, to help us to be on one accord. So where we at right now, there's no other place I'd rather be than where I am right now, you know, in our relationship. And I thank God for that, because that other place was so scary and so dark and murky, mm-hmm. you know, that it scared me, you know.
And it scared me, too. I mean, if you've never been there, you really don't know what to do when you get there. And I think that the accidents, because I'm going to call them accidents, they're going to happen before the recovery process kicks in, you know, because God will recover everything for us, you know, and build something that we never could have dreamed of. And the only thing that we have to do, like I was telling you, you know, earlier, it's the perseverance through that long suffering that love is, because long suffering, we hear the word suffering, but we don't pay attention to the part that says long, because in our relationship, this process to get here took years and years and years. And the thing about it was that the long suffering that we go through, there's some perseverance in that somebody has to be able to stick and stay. And somebody has to be able to learn how to operate in love. And sometimes it has to be one person that can come forth and do that first. And I believe that God put that task on me, because when he gave me the revelation in jail, you know, told me when I was sitting up in there on that domestic violence case, and he told me that if I did not learn how to operate in love, the devil was going to be my address. He gave me a second chance. He gave me another chance, not a second chance, but another chance to do something different in my life and in my relationship with people, not with just you, but with all people. Because the same way that we treat people in our home, we treat people like that out in the street. You know, if I can't be kind to the person that I'm at home, he said charity begins at home. If I can't do it at my house, I know I can't do it at the store. I can't do it at the library. I can't do it at the bank, at school, at work. There's my neighbors, everybody who is a neighbor in proximity with me is subjected to who I am. So, you know, when I got that, and I'm grateful today to understand that it was necessary for one of us to be able to stop doing what it was that we were doing. Because like you said, even though I had got the revelation sitting up in jail, when you came home, because I had hurt you so bad, mentally, physically, spiritually, and emotionally, you were still angry.
But I still had to go through that process of long suffering too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I had to deal with my emotions and my feelings, you know. And it took a long time to really accept the fact that I had to change, you know, in order for it to work, you know. And I kind of fought against that, too,
mm-hmm.
you know. And that was a painful experience, you know. And then seeing you try to change and not really want to accept it, you know, that was hard for me, too. So,
where do you think the turning point came in, though?
It's a surrender, mm-hmm. you know. It's a point where I had to start looking at you differently. I had to start looking for things, looking for change, you know, looking for attempts to make things better, you know, and stop holding that animosity and that anger, you know, and put some forgiveness in there. Because once I was able to forgive, then things started getting a little bit better, a little bit easier. You know, and like we had discussed before, we don't know exactly when the change came. But I think the process of us doing ministry together, it kind of helped us to kind of just switch, just, you know,
let it go.
Wash it away, you know, and start anew, you know. And I don't really think it's important in a way, but you know, to have come as far as we have, you know, and not letting all of that stuff, you know, steal, because the enemy will bring stuff up.
Oh, yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. out the blue,
mm-hmm.
you know. But to not let it manifest and take hold, you know, I think that's important, too, because a lot of times we can go back. I always pick up the inventory.
Right.
You know, always get it, you know.
And we got to be careful, like you say, because they're triggers, because they're hurt. After you put so much hurt in between our relationship, we got to start whittling that down, you know, letting that get away a little bit at a time, because it's not going to happen overnight. It didn't happen overnight for us. It did not happen overnight.
And it's allowing the enemy to, you know, bring those things back, too. But
mm-hmm.
when you replace that with God's word and let his love, you know, be the vocal point of everything that you base that relationship on, you know, he really don't have no room to get up in there with that foolishness.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And your conversation to yourself is a lot different
mm-hmm.
than it was before, you know. And then without having the alcohol and the weed and all the other little distractions, because some relationships had to fall to the wayside, you know, so they wouldn't be all up in my head with that foolishness too.
Right.
You know, so that helped clear a lot of the clutter out. You know?
Yeah, getting rid of the people that are negative about the relationship.
You know, because everybody ain't for you. Everybody don't want to see you know, mm-hmm. happily married.
But some people have never seen a happy marriage, so they don't know mm-hmm. how to support that.
It's true, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm just so grateful and thankful that we didn't give up, you know,
mm-hmm.
that we didn't quit, and that we can say that we have 11 years. All of them haven't been the way we want to, but these last few have been so beautiful and so great and so anointed, you know. And that's a word that you don't hear most folks say about their marriage, you know, that it's an anointed marriage, you know, and it's a covenant,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's the beautiful thing about it, you know, and what God has put together. Ain't nobody touched this.
Nobody,
you know,
not
even us. We just thank God for the miracle, you know. And a marriage can be a miracle if we let God be God in it.
Yeah.
You know, we can sabotage it very easily, you know, but having the Lord and knowing that he has a plan and a purpose, you know, that helps us to move forward
mm-hmm.
and help us to stay grounded in him in us, through us, in his word, you know. It's just a beautiful place to be, you know. And I look at you and you still make me blush. And I still make you blush.
Yeah.
And
lose my breath. Well, mister, he got
Hey, at the prayer
side,
oh, it's time to get good. Amen. Father God, we thank you for this miracle, for this magic, for this love, Father God, that you have given us, Father God. And we know that it's everlasting because it's you. And we thank you so much for it, Father God. And we pray, Father God, that something will be said are done, Father God, that will help others to be able to experience your love the way we do. And we give you the praise and the glory. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray this prayer. Amen.
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 Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
We'd like to thank you for joining us, and we hope that you'll join us again. We just like to say that no matter what the circumstances, situation, or problem, the lesson
is
always love.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.